better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
And we are live. Welcome, folks. Good Wednesday morning. It is Wednesday, September the 11th, 2024. And this is episode 3,556 of the Survival Podcast. We're bringing back on one of my favorite people to interview, Dr. Stephen Lewis of Green Wisdom Health. I don't think he's been with us since about 2019, if I remember right, somewhere in that range. And it's good to have him back on today. We're going to be talking about stress, anxiety, and depression, and how, no, it's not all in your head. There's a variety of environmental and nutritional stressors that are actually causing stress. Imagine that. Stressors causing stress. That's crazy. And when you have stress, then maybe you have anxiety. And then maybe when you're stressed out and have anxiety, maybe you get depressed. So you might feel it in your head some, but there are things that you can do to alleviate this. And Dr. Lewis will be with us in just a minute. I'll tell you one way, though, that you can reduce stress, and that is, you know, eat stuff that makes you happy. And one of the things that makes me happy, and it's also very healthy for you, is good old-fashioned biltong made the right way by someone from South Africa that knows how to make it South African style, because that's where he grew up. That's Anton, and Anton's Land of Biltong. Anton actually pays me in biltong. It's one of the better deals I've made in my life. Every 2 weeks, a box comes with two different kinds of biltong and some Dewar's dry sausages in it. Guess what came yesterday? That box. Why am I not being mean and eating biltong right in front of Dr. Lewis today like I do with guests sometimes? Because I ate a couple chicken Jamaican jerk sausages just a few minutes ago, and I'm full. So that's the only reason I'm not doing that today. But you guys want to check this stuff out. And remember, Anton himself will be here in November presenting at the Fall Workshop. Next up today, you know, we're going to talk about stress, and one of those things that stresses people out is money. And having your money constantly erode, that'll stress you out. Well, you know, I don't ever recommend going in all in on anything, but I'll tell you, I've been recommending alternative investments for as long as I've done this show. Back in 2008, first time I ever did a show on silver and gold, and people asked me, well, how much should I have? I said, you know, that's like if you ask somebody how much and like one person's a billionaire and the other person's a millionaire and the other person has 50 bucks, you're going to have different answers, right? It's not an ounce thing. What I believe in is about 5% of your net wealth is a wealth assurance policy in precious metals. JM Bullion's where I recommend you get your precious metal. It's where I get it. I'll tell you why. I know the president of the company. They have better pricing than Monex and Atmex and Lear Capital and all those people that are advertising with, you know, big news media companies and things like that. They have free shipping on all orders, and if you're a member of my program, they give you a discount. So really, it's more like, well, why would you buy from anybody but JM Bullion, in my opinion? Because, again, precious metal belongs in your portfolio, and you need to get it somewhere. Before I bring Dr. Lewis on, just a real quick reminder, the Fall Workshop's coming. The last two episodes, we talked about the schedule and the menu. Today, I'm just going to remind you that it's coming. I'm going to remind you the day that you can buy tickets. It's September the 21st at 9 a.m. Central Time. What your time zone is only matters for the calculation. The day and time is September 21, 2024 at 9 a.m. Central Time. I will drop a link into our Telegram channel and group. And you click that link and you sign up. Last year, it was 2 minutes. And there were no tickets left. So I'm only constantly saying this so that if you don't get a ticket, I don't feel guilty if you wanted one. Because every year I hear from at least a few people mad at me, but I was up and I'm sorry, you know. But I filled out the form and I couldn't make payment because of the tickets. So it's just the way it happens. Anyway, with that, let's bring Dr. Lewis back on to the Survival Podcast. Stephen, man, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back.
For people that maybe haven't heard from you before, can you just start out with, instead of our subject today, kind of your origin story before you decided to go to chiropractic school and then kind of go down this whole world of nutrition with those studies? What was your life like before that? What led you in that direction to choose this as a profession?
Well, my parents always took us to the chiropractor first and then an osteopath or MD later if the chiropractor suggested it. I always thought there was should be a very symbiotic relationship between them, and that's mostly true now. But my chiropractor decided, he talked me into being a chiropractor, and it's been a really good road, because I couldn't handle the blood and guts. I admired the medical profession, but I've seen so many people get well by taking supplements, and I know the FDA says, it can't, help a symptom or cure a disease, but still your body has to have the basics just to work with, and our food doesn't have it. And that's why I kind of really admire what you're doing. You're teaching people to grow more nutritious food, and you tell them it's not the soil, it's the microorganism that's fixing the nitrogen, for example. Well, we're going to talk about microorganisms today and how important that is in your brain health, stress, anxiety, depression, your musculoskeletal health. And, early on in my chiropractic career, I was really busy, really busy. And I noticed that when I put people on nutrients to stop the musculoskeletal inflammation, they'd say, well, God, I see better. I'm not as stressed, or my husband's nicer to me, which meant I'm not as irritable, or, something like that. Tongue in cheek, but it all works together: structure, function, nerve supply, nutrition, and just choosing a happy attitude.
So I think right now people are experiencing more anxiety, more depression.
Yeah.
But they're also dealing with kind of, as you alluded to, and probably part of this is gut inflammation. And you're a chiropractor, so I would imagine musculoskeletal issues are something you'd be looking at.
Right.
How are all these challenges interconnected? Because I think people tend to make these compartmentalized things. Anxiety and depression's over here. And that's exactly what pharmaceutical companies want, because then they can tell you, take this drug that's on the TV where the mentally depressed person is dancing through a field. And then when your hands twitch, take this other drug to go with that first drug. So that's a great money-making formula, but it doesn't seem like, for all the drugs we have for these problems now, it seems like there's more cases of the problem than ever before. So that doesn't seem to be working.
Well, before I get into what I think the cause is, I think we should choose to be happy. We should choose to look at it in a quirky way. And just a little over a year ago, I was in the hospital and they said, "Did you get your flu shot?" I said, "I had a bourbon shot." "Did you get your RSV shot?" I said, "I had another bourbon shot." "Did you get your shingle shot?" I said, "Oh, hell no." They said, "Did you get your COVID shot?" I said, "I had two bourbon shots for that."
Yeah.
And the nurse that was there trying to save my life at the minute, I had him laughing.
Yeah.
And so that probably helped, everybody. So, hormone imbalances, and I'm going to kind of jump the gun here and tell people I'm way different than I was 4 or 5 years ago in a lot of good ways. If people will look on my website, and it's just an ebook, I don't think you can download it. That's Janet's, purview, but there's a book called The Pain Relief Nutrition Program, and it gives the top whole food sources to certain nutrients that you need. And, I asked my patients, I said, "Have you noticed that most of these nutrients come out of meat or animal products?" Not that fruits and vegetables can't be important, but I'm not a fan of grain at all. And for example, rice and wheat, they're already grown nutritionally deficient anyway because of our soil. You cover that real well. But by the time they get through modifying that, 80% of the nutrients are gone once they mill it and process it and then spray, artificial folic acid on it, which makes things even worse. So it's hormone imbalance, and the Pain Relief Nutrition Program book on the website, I think it's brilliant. Of course, I had most I wrote it. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's got to be.
It's hard to say, "Hey, this book's brilliant, by the way, I wrote it," but I can say it for you.
Well, there's, I'm different. I've gone a lot more in depth. So, you know, we'll start, if you'd like, with hormone imbalances.
Okay.
Well, number one, from poor eating, and that's why I think it's important. I'm not much of a farmer. I can't make very much grow, but I like what you do, what you're teaching people. Yes, I do listen to some of your podcasts and like them. And then another thing for hormone imbalance is getting older, which I take great exception to that. You can get old very, very slowly if you choose to, but, you know, your hormones can become imbalanced and that causes pain related symptoms. That's one thing I noticed in my practice. It's like, well, what's really causing this pain? And I asked a lady the other day, she said, well, my right hip's hurting. It feels like it's 92. I said, well, your left hip doesn't hurt. How old is that?
Mm.
They never think about it. It's not an age thing. It's like, well, you misalign your car, so it tears up the ball joints and whatever. So
that's a good point from the musculoskeletal structure. You know, you can put really great tires, expensive tires on a car.
Yeah.
If your caster or camber's out, it's going to tear the tire up. And a person turn around and say, Firestone or Kelly or whatever stole me, or Michelin stole me a junk tire. No, you put your good tire on a car that was misaligned, you're going to have problems.
Well, another way to decrease stress and be happier, and I was in court one time testifying for a sweet little lady that was in a car wreck, and she had, you know, three very degenerated discs and vertebrae. And she was 67, and they said, well, don't you think this is just because she's old, had nothing to do with her car wreck? And I said, well, I put my mother's x-ray up when she was 62. I said, she was in a horrible car wreck 30, 40 years ago. Her neck looks real beautiful. The judge says, Dr. Lewis, take it down. If you do that again, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court. So the insurance company attorney, they never tell you that he's representing the insurance company. He said, okay, now, Dr. Lewis, now that we've disregarded your mother's x-rays,
yeah,
you can't do, don't you think this is just old age? And I said, well, the vertebra above and below the degeneration are the same age. How do you explain that? And they gave the lady $51,000 for her wreck. Mm. So you have to learn to think outside the box. And I think we have been programmed. You know, if you want to know how I feel, listen to George Carlin. So hormone imbalances, which creates neurotransmitter imbalances, what we call the happy hormones. And I don't think, you know, and I'm not an MD, I'm a DC, but I don't think that stress, anxiety, and depression is Paxil, Prozac, or Wellbutrin deficiency.
Agreed. Agreed. And I think I say it all the time, kind of to break it down to going across the board with that, a headache's not an aspirin deficiency.
Exactly.
Right? Then maybe none of this other shit, like you said, is a Paxil deficiency or an Ozempic deficiency or whatever. Like somehow humans existed without all of these chemicals for hundreds of thousands of years, and if not longer, we're not really sure. Those are our best estimates, that modern humans are somewhere now in the neighborhood of 300 to 400,000 years we've been on this planet. And we made it without Ozempic and Paxlovid and things to lower our A1C. And somehow we actually were actually pretty healthy before, you know, the onset of all this modern food supply and modern living.
Right.
You know, I've had people ask me, you're a chiropractor. I feel like, why do you need a chiropractor for your alignment? The humans, you know, have not needed chiropractors as long, you know. Well, they didn't wear the shoes we wear. They didn't sleep in the type of beds we did. They were walking around or sleeping most of the time, one or the other. And we lived much more natural lives. I don't think my sixth great grandfather in back spent a lot of time sitting in an office chair like I'm in right now.
Or lean forward looking at the phone for several hours a day. You know, the thing about chiropractic is, and there's a lot of research that says if you have an abnormal curve in your spine and they do autopsies on you, the nerves that emanate from that curve go to the diseased organs where it is not diseased above and below that abnormal spinal curvature. And, you know, another thing, I'm getting off subject a little bit, but, you know, I had a smart aleck insurance company attorney say, well, you know, whiplash doesn't occur in Russia. I said, yeah, but they've only got a fraction of the cars. So whiplash
Yeah.
Statistically, it's going to be much less, and it shut him up. I love embarrassing insurance company attorneys with my good old boy isms, but I think chiropractic's very, very important for the structural, you know, musculoskeletal aspect. And I think if you put good nutrition with it, that you can live healthier, you can age much, much slower, but more important, you can have the energy and have the mental get up and go, that depression doesn't slam you down on the couch in the middle of the day.
Can you kind of explain like how maybe some of those structural issues can relate to the mental health aspects of things? It makes perfect sense that if I have a spinal injury or compression or something, and that goes out to where my lungs are, that my lungs may not function as well because the neural communication to the lungs. But it would seem that then the same thing could be true of the mind, right? Like if I have certain things that are off in my alignment or causing me to have less communication between the mind and the body, I would look at it this way. It's not just about the mind itself, but like if the mind is having problems communicating with another part of the body, then that's going to put the mind in a state of stress.
You know, much, much of the research, and I'm not even talking about chiropractic supporting research, says vagal nerve stimulation. Go to your chiropractor for vagus nerve. And here's the kicker, and it's kind of what I'm going to tie this into. The vagus nerve, which takes care of all sorts of things and stimulates, you know, good function, good physiological function. 2/3 of those nerves go from the gut to the brain. Only 1/3 go from the brain to the gut. And then, you know, these books have been written, you know, the brain, the second gut, the second brain. The GI tract is intricately involved in all this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking one way to think about this is if you were designing a human, right? And you would say like the food that this human is consuming and how it's digested is actually really important. The nutrient intake is really important. If there's a deficiency, the body should have some way of saying, hey, I need more of something, right? You would design a communication system between the primary computer, right? Mm-hmm. And the machinery that converts the food into nutrient for the body. There would have to be a comms link between those two things. And it seems like we have so systematized the body that like, well, there's a digestive system and then there's mental health. And the average doctor would tell you, well, of course the two aren't linked other than, well, if you have a lot of pain in your stomach, you'll probably have bad mental health. But that's like, it's like saying if I punch you in the face every day, you'll get depressed if you can't do anything back about it.
Right.
But there is a actual link with that communication line.
Very, very much so. I used to have patients that said, well, when you adjust me, I see better. And I said, no, that's 8th cranial nerve root. It comes out of the brain, doesn't even go through the spine itself.
Yeah.
And I said, that's got nothing to do with your eyesight. That's just all in your head. And I'm glad it's in your head. And then I was very humbled to find the research that says, no, they were actually right. It was an indirect link, but a very causal link anyway. So you have to go to the gut microbiome. There's some studies that say, you know, we have 10 times more microbiome or microorganisms than we have cells in our body. Billions or trillions in your GI tract, and it's associated with pain disorders, and it's associated with depression, anxiety, poor sleep, fatigue. I hear fatigue all the time, or poor sleep. The kicker is you have to stick with it long enough. You know, there's some people that give up too quick. You know, they want to cut their tomato plants down before they even bloom, much less grow fruit. Physiology takes time. It takes 9 months to make a baby, and you know, you're not going to get well in 1 month or 3 months. You know, you can see signs that you're getting better, but getting the microbiome balanced is a little bit, it's complicated. Actually, you have to kill off there's Firmicutes and Bacteriocytes, you know, ones that make you fat are the Firmicutes. So as you kill these off and you can do it just by starving them out, by getting off your sugar, your artificial sugars, and your carbohydrates mostly. You know, I don't do that many carbs, and I can tell a huge, huge difference. And that's why I lean toward more meat and a lot of animal fat, not so much. What are the two biggest problems in society from a food standpoint? Probably seed oils and high fructose corn syrup. And, you know, you could probably add a lot to that.
Yeah, I've just got for those that are on the audio only, I've got a slide up right now. It looks like it has nothing to do with what Dr. Lewis is talking about. That has everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I was actually looking for a different slide, but I'm going to settle for this one. This one's talking about how many cells in your body, right, are human cells versus how many cells are microbial cells and how many cells are viral. And if you look at the picture in the upper right-hand corner, that little red space on the, it's just like the knee down on one leg, that represents how much of you is human cells. The other majority of you is actually microbial cells and bacteria that are you, that you coexist with, and you have over a quadrillion resident viruses in your body at any given time, and you're not just more bacterial cell, you're more bacterial genes. Mm-hmm. If you look at the bottom one, you see the dude's like front of his left toes is red. That's human genes. You have about 20,000 human genes in your body. You have 2 to 20 million microbial genes in your body. Now, it fascinates me, honestly, that modern medicine ignores this, literally completely ignores this. Like, you are more of these things than you are human. So these things might be important, right? Like, and a huge portion of those bacteria and microbes that are part of you are in your gut. And if you disrupt that, you've thrown off the whole system. It's like, well, I don't know why all the fish died in the pond. All I did was kill the plankton. Right? If you kill the plankton, then the whole system falls apart. You broke the base of the food chain. You know, yeah. I teach people about the food chain in aquatics in my backyard. I have these ponds, and I got all these plants in them. I'm like, you want to see the food chain? I just stick my hand in one of the aquatic plants and move my hand around. So, like, it looks like, you know, kind of like dust and debris and scum or whatever. A little floated cloud comes out of that. Well, the next thing that happens is all the minnows and all the phytoplankton come, you know, all the zooplankton come in, and then the bigger fish are looking around like, who can I eat? And I'm like, there it is. Well, that's your body. It's just that you can't see that cloud. That cloud is true microorganisms. But our bodies can't be healthy if that system's out of balance, no more than the soil can or an aquatic system can.
Yeah, that's very well put. So, you know, if you talk about what causes inflammation, you know, go to seed oils.
Yes.
and the ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s. And I tell people, you know, you need more omega-3s, and they're not all the same. And be careful who you follow. You know, the problem with the internet is it's made a lot of slightly educated idiots, basically. You know, one of my patients, very dear, she's my age, she looks good, she takes a lot of stuff, but she's following a guy on the internet that says you shouldn't do salt, you shouldn't do fat, you should go plant-based, and I see her lab going to hell in a bucket.
Of course.
And so's her mental health, and so's her inflammatory markers, you know, for her joints, and, you know, sitting at a computer all day with that head translated forward. I said, careful who you listen to. I tell people, listen with a discerning spirit. And I don't know, I get by being a little bit of a smart aleck, but I'm too young not to be having fun. So,
you know, if the salt thing's always amazed me. Like, this is something that humans and animals both crave.
Yeah.
For all the talk, there's never been a study that's actually proven anything they say about salt is true. They'll take these non-scientific studies, I guess I would put it, and they say, well, these people eat more sodium, and look, they have higher blood pressure. Well, what else are those people, like, they eat more sodium, or are they getting it? If they're getting packets that say, add one cup of water, dump and stir and boil for 7 minutes, maybe you should look at all the other shit that's going in there, because I see these dudes like Dr. Sean Baker, he lives on basically beef and salt. Mm-hmm. And he's about 66 years old, and he's built like a brick shit house, right? So clearly the salt's not hurting him, right? This guy's an MD, and like he's an ER physician. I'm sure he takes his own levels, and if he was killing himself, he'd know. And so I don't really even understand this war on things like salt, but it's there. And it seems like the only reason they have to do this is because they can't tell you what the real problem is because, well, you want somebody not to understand something, make their paycheck dependent on them not understanding it.
Some people think too simplistically. And that, of course, that's why Janet and I do lab. The thing about it is people look at it in too much of a simplistic way. It's like, well, if you don't eat salt, your chloride starts going down in your lab. And if you don't have chloride, you can't make hydrochloric acid. And they say, well, I can't eat this because I get a reaction. Well, it's not that is the problem. What are your liver enzymes? Why is your liver not detoxifying this toxic environment and not excreting bile to digest, you know, the fats and the meats? You know, I'm not carnivore, but of the people, and I've had a lot of my patients, I said, just go carnivore. And they did real, real well. What are your digestive enzymes? What are your probiotics? What's your vitamin D level? Which is not really a vitamin. It's more like a pro hormone. But there's a lot of things you have to figure into the equation. It's not that simple. But salt, I think, is good. I wouldn't eat Morton's, but, you know, all the other ones, the sea salts. But here's the problem with the Internet. It'll say, eat Himalayan sea salt. Then the next one says, don't eat Himalayan sea salt. It's full of heavy metals. You know, eat Redmond's. Don't eat Redmond's. You know, eat Celtic. You know, don't eat Celtic. It's like, be careful who you listen to.
I think that one of the things that, because I'm pro salt, but I'm also like these people that say, like, well, you'll get all your extra minerals. Well, go look at the mineral analysis. I mean, the salt is primarily, no matter what it is, the sodium chloride. And probably the number one mineral that you're going to find if you check out something like Himalayan pink is going to be fluoride. Mm-hmm. And so the same person telling you only use Himalayan pink is also telling you to stay away from fluoride.
Yeah.
Now, putting fluoride in the water, which is actually scraped out of industrial smokestacks, I'm opposed to that too. But I do think there's a lot of inconsistency in the information that's out there. But before we dig into that, can you just talk about, like, what would a person notice about an imbalance in their gut biome relating to our subject today, which is how it would affect stress and anxiety? How would they kind of identify that maybe this is my issue?
You know, the usual things, fatigue. I hear brain fog quite a bit. Poor sleep. Loss of libido. You'd be surprised how many 25, 35 year old men says, Doc, I really don't function like I used to back in the young years. I said, you're 25, 35 years old.
5 years old, bro. You should be functioning with a breeze.
Yeah.
At 25, I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, if you're not waking up happy, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be migraines. It can be different neuropathies. Too sensitive to pain or too sensitive to your spouse being a little bit critical or being overly sensitive to that. You know, good health. Here's the thing. Good health comes from the inside out, not the outside in. And people say, well, I'm getting all these extra minerals from the Himalayan pink. You're getting a larger array, but you're not getting the recommended amounts. That's the key. And then people say, but I don't need magnesium because I'm getting it in my foot soak or I'm got this magnesium spray. And it's like, well, if you've got a ribeye, do you want to rub it on your skin or you want to put it internally? There goes my smart aleckisms.
Yeah.
But I put it in a way where people cannot think about it differently.
Yeah, okay,
you get magnesium by spraying it on and soaking your feet, and that's fine, but it's not enough. It's not complete. So pretty much any symptom, in my opinion, is because of the lack of the proper nutrition to allow your body to work. Your body wants to work toward 100%, but it needs something to work with.
So to me, there's two aspects to this. One is a lack of nutrient, and the other is what I would call a disruptor of nutrient cycling, right? I think that, like, people are, when we talk about ag, people are very familiar, at least with the term, the carbon cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but they, well, that's the carbon cycle or the water cycle. And, but basically, even if they don't know what it is, they've heard of it. But right. You're like, well, your plants also use calcium. There's a calcium cycle. And they use molybdenum, and there's a molybdenum mm-hmm. cycle. And they use manganese, and there's a manganese cycle. And if you don't have the biology functioning, you can throw all that shit in your soil, and the plant can't get it. Because the first thing that happens, these elements actually begin, you know, this is high school level chem, but they begin to bind together. When they bind together in certain ways, we can't access them anymore. They're now a molecule instead of an individual element, right? Mm-hmm. And right. So if we increase the health in the soil, and what that really means is biology, then these different soil organisms actually can break these bonds. Right. And what we've always thought is, well, then the organism poops it out and the plant sucks it up. It turns out the plants, and I've learned this in the last couple of years with some of the courses I've been developing, literally plants are like vacuuming up the microorganisms. Like, all plants on some level are carnivorous plants. Sorry, mm-hmm. vegans, right? You cannot allease your conscience that way. And so they're taking all this in. Well, so there's two potential problems. One is we've disrupted the microbiology that allows the nutrient in, or we've introduced something toxic that disrupts it, or we're also not getting enough. And I think so those three things happen in soil. I think those three things happen in the body. The person's not getting enough of the essential nutrient. The nutrient they are getting is, because their gut health is off, not being actually processed into the body properly. But they're also, like you mentioned, seed oils. Dude, I think that is I don't want anybody to take this as being pro high fructose corn syrup, but I personally believe that seed oils have done more at the macro level to overall human health than even HFCS. I really do. It's, and the correlation is, you know, they say causation does not equal correlation, or correlation doesn't equal causation, but there's times where it's exactly perfect and you go, that's probably not by happenstance. So how do we begin to correct all of that? The lack of nutrient, the disruption of the nutrient, and the disruption of the process to get the nutrient.
Well, again, that's why I do lab. And, you know, you've got to check different hormones. Some, you know, you probably heard of most of them, sometimes not so much. It goes into a little more depth in that pain book, but you got to look to thyroid. Thyroid's like a woman. If thyroid's not happy, ain't nobody happy.
Gotcha.
And it really affects pretty much everything in the body. And then you got the cortisol. And that's one of the things we routinely check. Is it too high, too low? And it's like, well, here's the parameters of the average American. You want to be in optimal parameters. And I tell people, and this is maybe a little tacky, but I said, well, these reference intervals cover the average overweight, depressed, pain-filled American.
Yeah.
And the parameters are different in different countries because I see them. So you want cortisol. If it's too low, you're fatigued as heck. You've got adrenal fatigue. If it's too high, you can't shut your brain down at night. And excess cortisol actually causes excess glucose, even if you're eating good. Then you have insulin. I always check that. It says, oh, you can go up to 20-something. It's like, well, if it gets past 8, 9, or 10, it's going to create triglycerides, stick it in your liver, create fatty liver, and then it's going to put excess weight. Insulin is actually a fat storage molecule. So you have to have insulin low. And people say, well, my wife makes the best sourdough bread. I said, well, that's like substituting cyanide for arsenic. It's better than your, you know, whole wheat bread, but it's not good.
Yeah.
So, DHEA, had a patient ask, what's the significance of DHEA? Well, you want to be on the high level of a healthy 30-year-old person, because DHEA is not just for testosterone, but it has like 150 repair functions. It has to do with the muscle, bone, and libido, because it's the precursor to testosterone and the other sex hormones, but it repairs your brain. I get better cognitive function for keeping mine up at 400, where 450 sometimes. And my range, because of my age, is only 188 on the high side. I keep it like a 30-year-old man should. And it's not just for the testosterone. Then estrogen, you know, that's a big problem because these plastics, pesticides, glyphosate act like estrogen. That's why men are more feminine. That's why we have the low testosterone centers that we didn't have when I was a kid. Because all these pollutants that your liver can't detoxify is acting like estrogen. And then it's really scary. Most women don't have enough progesterone because it's being overridden by the environmental estrogens, and progesterone has to do with fertility and sleeping good and thinking your husband's still a nice guy. So the imbalances for the neurotransmitters caused by these hormone imbalances, you know, it can cause our Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, anxiety, depression, and but it increases pain. Then here's the balance. You know, you were talking about, well, we've gone down to systems in our care, and it's like, yeah, we need to look at the whole like we should the soil. Because every neurotransmitter, one's inhibitory and the other one's excitatory and like serotonin. Well, SSRI just stops the reuptake of serotonin. Why not just make more serotonin? That's happy overall mood. low serotonin is usually people that have migraines and fibromyalgia. Unremitting back pain. Then you have dopamine. This is one of my favorites. People that have low dopamine are addicts. Sex addicts, gambling addicts, drug addicts, alcoholics, and it can be inhibitory or excitatory, and usually you will have migraines along with that, as well as the addictive personality. And you have to have specific nutrients. Think GABA glutamate, think monosodium glutamate, which is excitatory, but the GABA brings it down. They balance each other. You can have the neuropathies. Fibromyalgia, I hear that quite a bit with my patients. Epinephrine, and you know, if you have your adrenals blown out, we know that by your cortisol levels, it's too excitatory, then you don't get the epinephrine, norepinephrine, the fight or flight syndrome. You may be too tired for that sometimes. And it comes from gut issues, gut-brain connection, because about, depending on the research you read, you know, all research says different things. You can have 70 to 95% of all your neurotransmitters start in your gut.
So you've mentioned running labs a few times, and people that have heard you before know what you mean by that. let's talk a little bit about that. The type of labs you ordered for me, for instance, it was like, even the phlebotomist was like, I've never seen anything with this much on it. And what I really like, I believe the way you put it back then was, if you're average, then that's you, your buddy, and every fat person in the line at the state fair aggregated together, and that's how they're determined at average, and average is good. Well, you know, you could be a middle of the bell curve in one school and be a top student. You could be the middle of a bell curve in the other school and be a dumbass. Yep. Right? And our health as a society leans toward the dumbass school instead of the good student school. And so I think it's important that people understand that. Like, they could go to their doctor and be tested for these nutrients, and they'd say it lies in normal range. Well, normal's not necessarily good, right?
I tell people there's a difference between normal and common. You're common, but you're not normal.
I got you.
And, you know, I try to get them to think a little bit differently. And, you know, that's huge with back pain. Arthritis, you know, you can have different types. You can have the psoriatic, you can have the rheumatoid, you can have the osteoarthritis. There's a connection from the gut to the disc, recurrent meningeal nerve, you know, all that, you know, need that stimulated. But migraines, I hear that a lot, or headaches. It's like, well, that can be a lot of different. It can be the neurotransmitters, or it could be you're just not excreting correctly. It's very important to have good bowel habits. Janet's famous for saying, well, if you eat three meals a day and you have three trains going into the tunnel, how many trains should come out on the other side? And I've had people just didn't get that. If you're not if you're eating three major meals a day, shouldn't you be having two to three bowel movements, depending on transit time?
Yeah, so when you do this type of lab work with people and you notice that certain things are deficient, how do you look at remedying that?
You have to look at it several steps down the line. For example, the ratio, the amounts, and the ratio of different types of white blood cells. You know, there should be a good ratio of Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and that's what your white blood cells represent. So, you know, we put supplements in that your body can use to stimulate your immune system. There's a lot of them that'll do it. I like olive leaf and arabinogalactin, but there are other formulas that are just as effective. That's just my favorite. Vitamin D is very, very important. You wrote me an email several years ago. I was in Tulsa about Get the Optimal Dose book.
Yeah.
And it was already ordered. Thank you for your email. And you really do need to get it up. I don't push 300, but I keep them around somewhere around 75 to 100. And if it's 140, 150, that's fine. I don't think it ever gets toxic. You just have to watch the liver enzymes. That's very, very incredible. So, you know, I tell them eat better, eat like in the book, you know, the tryptophan, which you don't get sleepy because you ate turkey with the tryptophan, because tryptophan's in beef and chicken too. You get sleepy because you gorged yourself like a pig and maybe had too much alcohol because the family was there. You know,
Mythbusters did that. They did it real simple. They took half the team and had them gorge themselves on a typical turkey stuffing gravy dinner. And then they had the other half of the team eat like correct portions. That's all. It was the same food, literally off the same bird, out of the same. And the half that ate a reasonable portion were all like, I'm not sleepy at all. And the people that, you know, had a couple of Bordeaux's and then pigged out, they all wanted a nap.
Then I say, well, we know you need digestive enzymes. And I like the broad spectrum ones, but I kind of tend to go toward the fat digesting enzymes, lipase, hydrochloric acid, which is more protein, but it helps with the fat. You know, I have my favorites that work on most people, and then we can alter it. But, you know, you're trying to get some of the B vitamins and like B3, B6. You can't get the neurotransmitters from the gut here if you don't have B6. Well, how do you know there's a B6 deficiency? Well, because AST or ALT in your liver is going to be a little bit low. And if it's a little bit low, you know, most of these are, you know, tuna, beef, chicken, fish, scallops. You can get some B6 otherwise, but I think it's important that, you know, you can just have an educated conclusion that if your liver enzymes are low, it's not going to excrete. You know, that's the methylation pathway. I don't want to get too technical, but Janet says I need to dumb it down. It's like, okay. Throw it in, let God sort it out. You don't have to overthink this thing. Like you were talking about molybdenum. You never hear about molybdenum or manganese or boron. You have to create testosterone and to create healthy bones. But you don't hear many people talk about those. Well, it's in my multi-mineral. It's in the multivitamin in proper doses. And your body knows more how to deal with it. And I've had all kinds of chemistry, organic and inorganic, and I hate it. I don't even want to talk about chemistry. I passed it, but that was it.
I got you.
And the folate, you know, when they spray the artificial stuff and enrich your flour, that's poison. Most of us have a 5-MTHF genetic mutation. So all my vitamins, the multivitamin and some other big dogs have the 5-MTHF, which is 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. You have to have that before you can convert B6, before you can convert B12, before you can let your energy engines, the mitochondria, work. So you just throw it in. People overthink it. You know, find somebody you trust. And I'm not the only one that's good at this. But, of course, You know, if you want to use me, that's great too.
You know, what I noticed when I really started kind of going down the keto train, mm-hmm. and I think people think I'm carnivore. I'm not carnivore, but I might go 3 weeks of carnivore. Not right. because I made a decision, because I don't feel like eating vegetables. Mm-hmm. I, you know, like there's times it's very seasonal for me, like where I'm like, I don't know, like in the winter, I like salads a lot more than I do in the summer. And I know that's backwards for people, but it's just the way that it is. I'm talking like leafy green stuff. And I might go 3 or 4 weeks, but when I did that, I was a little bit worried about coming off of like lots of different colors and fruits and berries like they tell you to eat. I didn't give a shit about leaving grain behind. I knew that was bad. But I know before you worry about that, maybe you should look this up. So when I started looking things up, I found like just plain old beef has like 9 out of 10 of the things that we're worried about, an abundance of them, and the amount of fruits and vegetables you have to eat to get what you supposedly need, which is how they tell you to do it, is ridiculous. You got a commercial coming on like Fox News or the radio, was that Balance of Nature product? Just a bunch of freeze-dried vegetable and fruit powder in capsules is all that it is. And they say you need this because you can't get enough in your diet of fruits and vegetables. You can't eat. Like, well, wait a minute. If I can't get enough of the nutrient I need by eating fruits and vegetables, then maybe my primary source of nutrients shouldn't be fruits and vegetables. Maybe it should be something that naturally has what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Because I know you've read like the work of Dr. Price and all, like there are people say, you know, it's traditional that we eat vegan or vegetarian or whatever. No, it's not. You can't show me an indigenous society on the planet that is a vegetarian or vegan society. You show me a religion, but not an indigenous peoples that had to exist before the modern luxury that frankly lets these people eat diets like that. Like if you were trying to survive as a vegan in the Amazon, you're going to have a hard time. But if you're willing to put a couple darts and some capybaras or some howler monkeys, it ain't going to be that hard to survive. I'm just saying. I mean, I know that sounds way too oversimplified, but the easiest way to you acquire calories as a human being in nature is to kill something and eat it. You know, you can get some, you can forage some plants and you can get something out of that. But most of the plants we can forage before modern agriculture, the work that has to be done so you can eat it without killing yourself is pretty insane. You can do that with like an acorn. Yeah, go see how long it takes to make a pound of acorn meal and how many calories did you burn to make a pound of acorn meal with, you know, like 800 calories in it, more than 800. It's a net loss, right? Like I don't know how we've gotten here, but I know where we are is complete denial of where humans ancestrally got these nutrients that we're talking about. And we had to get them back then or we wouldn't be here now.
It blows my mind where people say, well, I've got these fruits and veggies and I just love this particular company. I said, well, it's not a bad company, but do you really think you're going to get enough fruits and vegetables out of 2 capsules of fruits and 2 capsules of veggies?
Yeah. Well, what they might get is a little bit more of what they should be getting and they might feel a little bit better. I mean, right. I'll acknowledge that. And then that tricks you into believing you found the solution.
You know, I tell people, you know, you're overthinking it. You know, just find somebody. Listen to your gut feeling, your discerning spirit, whatever you want to call it. Your gut won't lie to you if your gut is healthy. And that's those microbes that have some sort of innate intelligence. I know this is getting a little hooey-hooey, but ask your wife about her gut feeling. Well, if Dorothy or my wife Janet has gut feeling, I'm going to defer to that before I go out of my intellect because they're almost always right, if not always.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Like, when says, I really feel like this is a bad idea, I'm like, okay, it might be.
Yeah. And Janet's kept me out of all kinds of trouble that way. She said, you know, you're the most petulant little 4-year-old I've ever seen. I said, I am not. I'm 5. You know, if you're not having fun, something's wrong. But it's easier to have fun if you feel like you can, if you have the energy and the mental cognitive function to do that. So it's not that hard to eat better. You know, you've done a good job. I listened to enough of your podcast to know. And, you know, that's part of why I wrote that book. Like, yeah, okay, you just eat this. And again, maybe 3 out of 4 of these nutrients that I say are the top whole food sources of this nutrient, 3 out of 4 of them are animal products.
Which, again, it makes sense. You think, what are we made out of? We're made out of bone and muscle and nerve and fat, right? You know what has everything you need to build bone and muscle and nerve and fat and all the connective tissue? Other things that have all those things. Like they say, like one of the reasons if you have a, like chicken sometimes will break an egg, and if they break an egg, then they'll eat it.
Yeah.
Well, the egg has everything necessary to make a chicken, right? So a warm-blooded mammal has all the things necessary to make another warm-blooded mammal. And I think it's only like this emotional thing where we you know, we don't want to kill it because it's a living thing. And because of that, I want to like try to then back nutritional theory into this emotional discomfort. And I get it. I mean, it was a very different experience for me the first time I took like a chicken that I raised and slaughtered it versus I went out in the woods and busted my ass for half a day to shoot one grouse that's about the size of a small chicken.
Yeah.
And I had no emotional qualms in that at all because I had to go out there and meet that thing on its own and get embarrassed by it 6 or 7 times. The dog look at me like I'm stupid because I missed. And when I finally got him, I'm like, I got him. But this chicken's like, what's going on? Like, I get having like some emotional compulsion there, but it doesn't mean that your nutritional reality will change because you don't like it.
You know, I never had hit a grouse. They always duck behind a tree when I shot in northern Georgia. You know, the thing about it is, and again, I try to say things in a way that gets people to thinking a little differently. So I was having this discussion with this multimillionaire real estate developer out of Dallas, and we were in a nice, quiet restaurant. He says, Stephen, how do you kill a deer? I said, honey, you don't want to go there. Please don't go there. Don't go there. And she pushed it. And I said, well, number one, you think it's sinful to kill a deer, but the number one loss, the killer of animals is loss of habitat. So pine plantations, I've seen the deer population go way down in East Texas because of the pine plantations. You're flooding the oak trees, you know, to make a lake. And I said, so out of the pine plantations, you're making toilet paper and Kleenex. So every time you blow your nose or you're killing deer, you're just not making that connection.
Yeah, yeah. And my answer to it would have been, well, there's lots of ways. There's a 30-06, there's a 5 Randall. There's 22 if you're in a survival situation. I got a bow and arrow. Sometimes people kill them with a car. Like, would it make what you just said, though, it made me think of there was a show called Yellowstone, and they introduced this vegan activist into it. And of course, Kevin Costner's this old crotchety ass, kind of basically like a mafia based rancher, I guess, you know.
He's kind of like me and you.
He gives her this speech that lasts about 2 minutes. It's probably the greatest 2 minutes that's ever been on television. He's like, do you know how you grow grain for your bread? You kill every mole, vole, you know, everything in that field has to die so you can eat a slice of bread. The only question is, how cute does an animal have to be before you don't want to kill it? It's kind of how it ends. And it was like a complete shutdown. You're like, how did this get into like a mainstream media production? Because it was so spot on honest. And I mean, life begets death and death begets life. I mean, this is as old as humanity. And I don't know, maybe someday we'll live in a universe like Star Trek and I can go, I will have a ribeye and a replicator will make me an actual ribeye. But this 3D printed shit, I ain't playing that. Right. And until we get to that Star Trek 23rd century shit, I'm going to stick to like, I'm looking at a rooster right now that if he doesn't get off my outdoor kitchen bar, he might be in the crock pot by the end of the week.
Yeah. One of the things we did to prepare is move to a little lake and full of fish.
I wasn't kidding. I just had to get rid of his ass.
Yeah. They're begging us to take catfish out because, you know, we've got a whole amount of catfish, 8, 10, 12 pounds. It's like they said, when you catch them, please kill them and fry them up. And the bream are so big that it's a sin to throw them back. My granddaughter scooped up 5 in the net, says, "Papa, can you get 5 bream?" I said, "No, baby, my record is 3. So they're that thick. So,
and if you once you get there, by the way, if you don't start harvesting them, go back in 5 years and they'll all be this big.
Yeah.
You'll get stunted if you don't harvest some.
We've got a few missing generations. We have some now 6, 8, 10 inches long, but we need to get rid of the ones that are 2 foot long.
And yeah.
They're thick, but yeah, I like them. I'm not carnivore, but I'm maybe 3/4.
Yeah.
Ish.
I tell people this all the time. Like, you don't have to do what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends. I have Ken Berry on and we'll talk about it. Like, there are certain people I feel like, we look at carbohydrates and we gain weight. Like, I just can't. Like, there's certain people that can actually use illegal drugs and they're all right. And the other person, like, does it once and they're an addict, right? Like, so I have to just stay away from these heavy carbs. But there's a lot of people, if they would get the seed oils and all the multisyllabic crap out of their diets, keep their carbohydrate intake to under 100 grams a day, which is way more than people realize. The average American's eating 400 plus.
Right. Right?
And no seed oils and no grains. And those 5 things, that was all you did. Your health, here's the other thing. It's not going to turn around tomorrow.
Right.
How long, like, I think that's part of a part, when you get in natural solutions, people, like, expect the same kind of result you get. My back hurt. I took Tylenol with codeine. It stopped hurting until the drug wore off. But they had that instant relief, and so they're looking for that. Well, how long did it take you to screw your shit up? And it's probably going to take some portion of that time, probably 10% of that time,
at least
to rectify. So if it took you 10 years to screw it up, it might take you probably better part of a year to unscrew it up. And so the other thing that happens, I think, is people get addicted to all the stuff they're eating. So if you have a person that came to you and have a heroin addiction and you're running a rehab, when you take away the heroin, are they going to feel good the next day?
No.
Right? Right. Well, what's the solution? We'll give them heroin and they feel good again. No, no. You have to get through the withdrawal of the thing that you've become dependent on. So you may, in fact, when you make changes like this, feel like dog shit for a few weeks. It's okay. And I just think we should be more honest that this whole section of the world, carnivore, keto, natural diet, anti-grain, all anti-seed oil, all of us in this space share some overlap in the Venn diagram. And we need to be honest that, yes, when you take away all the chemicals that you've become accustomed to, if not addicted to, and all the sugar that you've become accustomed to, if not addicted to, you may not feel well for a while. That doesn't mean it's a bad decision any more than stopping taking meth or heroin would be a bad decision.
You know, it's very wise that you go to that degree of in-depth thought, and people say, "Well, I have brain fog." I said, "Well, did you know you're feeding candida? You can assume you have too much candida by the eosinophils, should be 0 to 2. And if it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's a problem." I said, "But candida, an overgrowth that's going to make you fat. And the thing about it is they put out an enzyme called thiaminase. It steals what little thiamine you have, one of the B vitamins, and you can do 2 things. Starve out and or kill the candida or overload the thiamine with other B vitamins."
Okay.
And then they'll say in 2 to 3 days to 2 to 3 weeks when I overdose them on thiamine, it's really not an overdose. They say, "Oh, my God, my brain fog went away."
Mm.
And I tell them, I said, "Well, I want Shinerbach and dark chocolate to say thank you." I really had a guy stop me at a restaurant and said, "Are you Dr. Lewis?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How can you tell?" He said, "Well, my wife said you're the guy with the big ugly mustache." I said, "Okay." She told me when she got back to the girl that I married that I owed you Shinerbach and dark chocolate. I said, "Well, how's she doing?" He said, "Where's your office? I need to make a delivery."
All right.
So, you know, it's, you put in enough, and yes, you feel bad when you start starving those candida. You'll start craving, you know, all the carbs and the sugars. You just have to suck it up and have a little bit stronger willpower.
Yeah, I don't even remember the documentary I was watching. It was like one of these things where they figured out what was wrong with somebody in like an ER, and they're trying to treat their way through it, and this person had a fungal infection. Mm-hmm. And initially, they thought they were wrong about that, because when they started giving the patient an antifungal, their symptoms got worse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, kind of the older doctor that's been around a while steps into it and says, of course it did. Mm-hmm. You're attacking the fungus. The fungus is not exactly happy about this.
Right.
Right. So it's going to flare, and it's going to cause the response to the patient. We need to give them support through that treatment. And Candida is a yeast. And I would imagine when you start to starve it and it becomes unhappy, you know, that maybe that would make a person not feel so well. So how do we starve it? I would say, you know, not eating sugar would be a good start.
Yeah, cut the carbs. And then when you start killing the stuff off, it produces, you know, toxins. So that's why I tell people one time a day to have a bowel movement is not enough. I said, if you're not going two or three times, you're going to start excreting, or they're going to excrete the toxins and reabsorbing that. And you're going to hate my guts. You're going to feel bad, but it's still a good thing. So just bear with me there.
I think another thing that happens, and I noticed this because I lost over 70 pounds. We store a lot of toxins in our fat cells.
Mm-hmm.
So when, and I didn't like start losing weight immediately. It took a while, and then it kind of kicked in, and I went where I lost like 25 pounds in 30 days. And during that phase of it, I had pimples that were more like little boils pop up in like inconvenient places, like your armpit or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I knew exactly what it was. I also ended up with freaking gout. I'm in my 50s. I got freaking gout. That lasted about a week. And I had a whole new sympathy for my grandfather with how bad that freaking hurts. It's hard to even explain it to somebody. But it was part of the rebalance, right? Mm-hmm. It was part of rebalancing the body. And so I think, yeah, one, like you said, Candida, like it's going to release toxins. But at the same time, as you become healthy, toxins you stored, if you burn that fat cell, you know, I'm still hoping that the one that stored the stuff from 1989 when I saw things moving in the wall, I hope that fat cell's gone and it doesn't pop someday, because I heard that can happen decades later. You can figure that one out. But you know, I can tell you that I burned through a lot of fat cells and I let a lot of stuff go, and I think that some people, again, we should be letting people know that when you improve your health, it may, in fact, at least in some ways, get worse before it gets better.
It can get uncomfortable. I have a book on my website also about hormone balancing and weight loss. But since the semaglutide have come on to the market, nobody seems to care. They don't want to lose weight by, you know, cutting out your donuts and bagels. Uh-huh. So that kind of lost interest.
So, yeah, y'all want to get by his site now. If you're watching the live stream right now and you do what I say, it won't work because we're not done yet. But when we're finished, I will take the audio from the video stream and I will integrate it like I always do into the audio podcast. And that's the stuff that goes out on Apple and Spotify and all that, where most people actually listen. And there's a link in the video notes if you're on the video below. And if you click that link about 30 minutes after the live portion ends and we're actually done, it'll go over there. And I've got his website. I've got all the social media ways that you can connect, because Dr. Lewis actually is squared away when he fills out a guest application. And some of you special children could learn from that. And he puts all of the ways that you can follow him in his guest application. Because if you do that for me, then I put it all in the show notes. So that will all be there for you guys today. Can we talk? We've kind of talked a lot about how this stuff helps with neurotransmission, right? And that support. But the other word that we have in this, and you want to talk about being depressed? A person with inflammation is depressed,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I've had, you know, inflammation that's not dietary at times. It's classic what your body does when you hurt yourself. So like you have some sort of sports injury or something, and then, you know, it happens to be an ankle or a knee, and that immobilizes you. And when you do move, it's hard and it hurts. And I've never been like, gee, I think I'm going to jump off a building over it. But I've also never been happy about it. So when you have chronic inflammation where you're hurting in general, in fact, you like you say it's your back, but then when you like put your hand on that spot, it like magically disappears and it goes somewhere else, because really what you have is like systemic inflation. Mm-hmm. That's going to make you unhappy. I promise you that's going to make you unhappy. So what are some steps involved in dealing with, you know, chronic inflammation that so many people have? And I guess I never really noticed it before I fixed it for myself, but now I'll see somebody, like a picture that somebody posts, like a selfie or something, and I'll go, they have chronic inflammation. Like, and that's not what the picture's about. They're not complaining. You look at their face and go, this person's got inflammation, right? And like, I could see it on people from a mile away now. How do we go about starting to correct that?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different ways to do it. The way that Janet and I found to be most successful is do the lab work. And, you know, here's something that you and I have not talked about. I hope you'll forgive me. But because I hear from these patients, and many of them are long-term, been doing this 8 or 10 or 12 years, and they love it. They say, yeah, but we're kind of getting squeezed because of the economy. So the lab prices tend to be very, very volatile. But through the end of December of 24, we're going to take 20% off. One time, one person, if you've been, you know, a patient of mine, you get to do it too. 20% is a big deal. And just the code word I think Janet built in was survival, you know, to go along. I can't remember my code word. Okay, where'd you hear this? The podcast. Through the end of December, if you want to do that. And then we have different ways to get you on the right nutrients. We've got little AM and PM pill packs. We still have the bottles, which your people get 10% off of. And we do have, you have a lot of people that are very consistent and take responsibility. And I appreciate what you're doing, because, you know, you're making the world a better place to live just because people are healthier, and we can go do a lot of good things. Now, we talk about stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, if you have thoughts of hurting yourself or harming somebody else, go to the emergency room. You know, I love our medical profession. Me being structure function as a chiropractor, I've noticed that most medical interventions are the ones that are structure function mechanical. They do a really, really good job with all of that. The chemical imbalances, you know, my favorite drug is caffeine. Second favorite is I'll bring your favorite drink and we'll eat Biltong because you're not that far down the road. So I'm not a big fan of chemical intervention. And sometimes it's very, very appropriate. So if you're that stressed or depressed that you're going to go hurt yourself, go to the emergency room. But other than that, just do the lab work and let's see where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, that was what sold me on you all those years ago. You talk to people that have a supplement line and they're like, well, everybody should take this. Mm-hmm. Well, you're like, well, I don't know what the hell you should take until I know where you're at. Yeah. Now, you probably could make a pretty good guess of some basics for anybody that would be helpful. But in the end, if you really want to zone in on it, and both my wife and I worked with you, and we did not end up on the same shit. Imagine that. Two different people had two different sets of needs. Now, there was some overlap, but a lot of it was unique and individual to us. And so the other thing I want people to know, like people talk about, you know, when you hear, like, get labs done and all, they think – all the bullshit you deal with when you go see a regular doctor, and then the doctor's like, well, you have a kidney issue, so I'm going to send you a kidney specialist. Well, hold on, doc. Didn't you learn about kidneys when you was in medical school? Yeah, well, then why? Because the whole thing's set up that way. Now, when I worked with you, there's a little LabCorp place. It's about 5 miles from my house. I walked in. They took my blood and I left. Mm-hmm. It took me less time in there. And I'm not going to promise everybody to be that quick, but I had to get gas. It took me longer to put the gas in my car and go inside and give the guy the credit card because the damn reader on the pump wasn't working than it took me at LabCorp. It was really simple. I got stuck with a bunch of needles and left. Yep. So I want people to know when I'm getting that, it's really easy. It's not a big inconvenience. It's something that – and you set your time, and it's not like a – again, you go to the doctor, 9 a.m. appointment, 9:30 – first of all, they email you and tell you be there at 8:30 in case what I don't know. 9:30, you're still sitting there, and there's like three people in the waiting room, and you ain't back. you go to these labs, if it says 8:15, at 8:16, somebody's pulling blood out of you. No. At least that's the experience I had.
Well, we have the prices very, very low, and I appreciate the people that notice the difference. And I told one lady, I said, you know, it's going to cost you $387, the comprehensive plus female hormones, and that's $2,000 or $3,000 worth. Well, on the little kiosk, I said, don't put any insurance information. You paid me. I paid them the bulk of the $387. Well, she wanted to get her money back, so she filled out it. And then they sent another bill for $1,800, and she was crying about it. And I said, honey, I'm not paying it. It's yours.
She said, well, I told you not to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you not to do it, you know. And that's a medical industry problem. Like, you want me to fix healthcare, one of the first things I'm going to do, other than change dietary recommendations, is say, you medical providers, doctors, nurses, hospitals, all of it, you can charge any price you want. I don't believe in price fixing. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to charge everybody the same freaking price. And you're going to publish your price. That's what you're going to do. And that would take 90% of our problems on the cost side. And maybe not get rid of them, but it would mitigate the hell out of it. Because that makes no sense, right? I'm going to pay cash. How much is my price? About $300.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I'm going to use the insurance that's going to pay more than $300. Now it's $1,800.
Right.
There's a dishonest system, and that's why I feel people need to work with folks like you as they're figuring out how to straighten their life out. Because the system itself cannot be trusted. Like you said, you are a fan of doctors. I am too. Mm-hmm. Especially, like you said, structural issues. Like, I tend to be much more a fan of a doctor that is a surgeon than a drug prescription writer, right? Like, if I'm in a car wreck and I have a part of a yield sign in my spleen, I want to go straight to a level 3 trauma center immediately. I don't want to have, you know, shark piss sprayed on me and be chanted over. I want a surgeon to keep me from bleeding to death. But if I have a chronic problem, especially these chronic problems like things you've named, that this is just what we call it. We don't really know. Like when you say fibromyalgia, it sounds very sophisticated. You could have 10 people that all say they have this and say, okay, go give them a test, right, that shows me fibromyalgia bacteria or something or some specific deficiency. No, they'll all be different. It's just this generic name because we have to label shit. But what you really have is probably an unbalance of nutritional deficiency and overall poor lifestyle that's led to this. And the patient don't ever want to hear that because, well, then that means it's partly my fault. Well, yes, that would be the case. That would be the case, right? But it's a real illness. I'm sure it is. And alcoholism is a real illness, but you drink the alcohol, right? Like, you bear some part in this, and people get really upset about that. And I think that the whole system has convinced them that every problem can be solved with a surgery or a pill. And I just don't believe that.
And I don't think everything can be solved by adjusting and nutrition. There are other things. And when I was being a smart aleck last year in the hospital, they saved my life there, no doubt about it. But, you know, I made sure they were laughing while I was there. And they were doing mechanical things. So, you know, they're good people. It's just the system is the problem. Yeah. And I see more and more doctors, medical and osteopathic, getting out of the system and asking me about functional nutrition. I
said, yeah.
Sure, come on in. I'll tell you everything I know.
I'm seeing doctors do different things to get out of that system. I'm seeing people like Ken Berry and Sean Baker. They're becoming online influencers and they're focused on the diet and exercise side. I'm also seeing a lot that are moving into like the direct primary care market where, like, you know, you pay this guy $140 a month and it's an adjunct on your health insurance, but then you buy much cheaper health insurance. And they do the same kind of thing you do. You need labs. They just order them and you go pay cash.
Right.
Right. And you know, because they have high volume, they can push that price down a bit. And the provider's willing to do it because I get paid now. I don't have to fill out 17 forms. And if I cross the T wrong, then my payment, you know, I get it, but it's going to be 90 days later than it should be. They don't have to deal with that. And those are the kind of the two migrations I'm seeing from MDs that are not leaving completely, but they are putting themselves in a situation where they're not wrapped into, like, basically code-based billing.
Because Ken explained it to me, and I was blown away. Like, he's like, this is how much I can bill if I have you on one medication. But this is how much I can bill the insurance company if I have you on three. So I'm allowed to charge the insurance company more money if I'm putting you on more drugs that they have to pay for. There's got to be some grab ass incest going on in the background between the drug companies and the insurance companies. Because if I'm an insurance company, I would let you bill me more to keep a patient off drugs.
That would make better sense. Yeah.
The whole thing's ass backwards. If this world was true, the bees would say zub instead of buzz because they'd all fly fucking backwards.
we try to keep the price down. I like to know what I'm doing with the lab.
Yeah.
But some people like to test for $5,000 or $10,000 worth. I like to test for $300 or $400 worth and then spend your money on the nutrients that your body can work with to, you know, build a healthier musculoskeletal system and better physiology, whether that's, you know, migraine relief or, like you said, the fibromyalgia is not really a diagnosis.
It's what does that mean? Right. Like, and I'm not, I know I'm going to get a hate mail. I guarantee you there's already like Outlook's got 87 emails that didn't go in the spam box since we started. Okay. I guarantee you one of them's telling me what an asshole I am for saying fibromyalgia is not real. Even though that's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. What I said was it's not a condition that we can test for. It's a name we gave to a box of symptoms that we don't know how to classify. And the problem with that is then once that gets into the medical system, even though it's not a deficiency in some drug, they'll say this drug treats this illness, and then somebody can bill for that, and then they put you on that drug. And inevitably, I mean, if people wonder how I got so jaded, when I was a very young man, I did life insurance sales for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very quickly good at it. And so they gave me the pleasure of doing policy conversions, which is where, like, you have to sell enough new business every week to keep your job. But here's a whole bunch of customers that are on term. You go convert them to whole. They're older. They need enough money. You know, it's a layup sale, basically. And when you talk to these people and you say, well, what medications are you on? And they'd get this box out and they'd set that on the table and you're like, holy shit, I don't even want to do this anymore because I want to write all this crap down. But when you started, then you had, what is the medication? What is the purpose of it? They'd have two that were for something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have six that they were, well, I get a tremor from this, so I take this to reduce the tremor, but it makes my stomach queasy. So I don't take this one all the time, but whenever my stomach's queasy after I take this one, I take that one. Well, sometimes when I take that one, you know, my joints hurt. So now I take this for that, but it only happens when these two. And you're like, you know, I'm sitting there. I was like 23 years old at the time going, oh, hell no. I'm not doing this. And it like when you get it once, you're like, oh, that was weird. When you're like talking to the fifth person that week that has the same story, you're like, you start just writing. Well, I didn't tell you what that was for. Oh, I did six of these this week. I know what that's for. That's for this, right? And that's, oh God, that's 20 some years ago. I hate saying it that way, but it's true, right? And it was already that, no, that's 30 some years, shit. It's 30 plus years ago. That was already that way. And it can have gotten better.
You know, when the Medicare nurse was giving me my Medicare physical,
yeah,
and it's like, well, I don't feel old, but anyway, she said, what kind of medications you're taking? I said, I don't take any medication. She said, oh, everybody your age is on 6 to 12. And so she does her stuff, you know, she makes me pee in a cup. She draws my blood. She said, okay, what kind of medication do you say you're on? I said, okay, you're right. I do drugs. She said, huh, got you. I said, I do caffeine in the morning and alcohol at night. And again, you've got to have fun. Most people have forgotten how to have fun. And she said, you ever smoke marijuana? I said, I quit in 1975. She says, well, I don't think I would have mentioned that. I said, well, you ask. 1975, wasn't a big deal, like drinking a beer.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she was a hoot. I was going to make sure she had a good time. I'm the kind that when you go into the elevator and everybody's quiet, not when I'm there. So yeah, you know, let's lighten up, but let's have the good health to create that fun, to have the energy to do that.
So if you ever want to have fun with people in the elevator, total aside here, once the doors close, turn around and say, so I guess everybody's wondering why I invited you all here today. Watch everybody's face when you do that. They're like, oh, shit. Am I about to get an Amway presentation or something here? No, just we have to have, like you say, you have to have fun. But one thing I know that you're really into, Dr. Lewis, is research. Like you actually, you're like me. When there's a study that comes out, you don't read the synopsis. You actually read like the whole thing, including a really important part that no one reads the methodology to see if it's even worth considering because some of them aren't. What does the latest research actually say that supports some of the things that we're talking about today? Because I know you always have good stuff like that.
Well, it's like the research that says you should take an aspirin a day. Well, I can show you research that says taking an aspirin a day doubles your risk of stroke. And, you know, there was, I think it was 84 studies that said aspirin did absolutely nothing for heart health. And then Bayer, in its infinite wisdom, knew we were so magnesium deficient. I think it put 15 milligrams of magnesium oxide in it. And oxide is not even a good form of magnesium, but it made the heart perform better to get a little bit. So you've got to really pay attention to that. I'm going to be brief on this, and I'm going to read it just because this is some good stuff. PCB pesticides, you know, you talk about glyphosate. Affect the uptake of neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, glutamate, and GABA, and that's from Journal of Toxicology. DHEA, which from the adrenal glands, Journal of Psychiatry. So DHEA is not just for your musculoskeletal system. Thyroid from Journal of Thyroid. Testosterone, American Academy of Environmental Medicine. Here's some really good ones. Wheat can cause schizophrenia through gut irritation. Journal of Biological Psychiatry and the Journal of Science. Wheat can cause schizophrenia. That's why the hospital admissions during World War II, when there was a bread shortage, psychiatric hospital admissions went way, way, way down until they got the farming back and got the wheat back. And this is lack of thiamine makes the blood-brain barrier more leaky, allowing toxins to penetrate the brain more readily. Journal of Experimental Neurology. Remember me talking about thiamine and how the candida steals your thiamine?
Yeah.
PMS becomes worse with lack of vitamin B. Hey, man, pay attention to that one. It just goes on and on and on about B vitamins and how you need that to convert tryptophan to serotonin, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I read research, probably thousands, and you're right. Don't just go through the little synopsis thing because sometimes it doesn't really reflect what went on.
So let's take some questions from some folks here. I only have a few. If you have a question, people, now would be the time, and you should do it exactly like that one. See that where it says the word question in all caps? That way my one good eye might notice it. Let's go ahead and we'll take them in order they came in, though. This one was when we were talking about salt. So what are your opinions on Redmond's Real Salt? I think that when we were talking about it, also the Himalayan, there was some chatter that I think people thought maybe we were talking it down. No. We were more talking down people who act like it's the end-all, be-all, or their advice is inconsistent. But just as a brand, what is your thoughts on Redmond's?
Janet has it on our chicken out there. She's about to.
Okay.
Yeah, we use a lot of Himalayan. We have the Celtic, however how you pronounce it. Redmond's, I think, is good.
Yeah.
Well, but you're getting more minerals, but don't think you're getting the amount of minerals from the salt that you really need. But that's a good start. Very good start.
What I pick on people with it is when they're like, especially all the keto shit where people are just looking for stuff to make videos about. And they're like, they put like three twists of pink Himalayan salt in their coffee in the morning. That'll give me all my minerals. No, it won't. Just, would you please look it up and see what's in there before you say something stupid like that. Now, Redmond's is actually my favorite brand of salt for day-to-day use. Yeah. I think it's a really good flavor, a good mix. But what I love about it is when you dry brine beef with it, it almost looks like you put a cure on it.
Yeah.
It's really red. It does a really good job of a dry brine for like a ribeye or something like that. But it's on my website and in my product reviews. And salt, all salt is good, in my opinion, as long as it's not salt that was adulterated by processing.
Right.
Use something natural. And in the end, I'll tell you guys this, too. All salt is sea salt. The ocean just isn't where it is anymore if it was mined out of the ground. How do you think? There's no place that salt just appears. Right? Yep. There was some sort of salt water formation that created the deposit, or it wouldn't be there. I'm not putting down sea, like made from the sea. That's good stuff too. I'm just saying all of it came from the ocean at some point. Tom says, should someone stop all supplements before testing? If so, how long? I would think the answer is no, but it's a good question.
Well, you could go either way with it. I would prefer people stay on it because I have to say, well, what you're taking is not working, because supplements are like your crazy ex. Some of them don't work and they're counterfeit. And it is rampant. I've seen it get worse these last 3 or 4 years of idiocy that's been going on in our country, well, worldwide. I'd say stay on them, because if you're on a good B vitamin and your ALT, liver enzymes, low, it's like, you're not getting the right kind of B6.
Gotcha. Here's an interesting one. It's really about how your panels work, I guess. Says, if one orders the thyroid hormones extensive lab panel, will they still need the comprehensive lab panel too? Or I'm wondering if the comprehensive lab panel would include the thyroid. So what do you think? You know, so you answer. What do you think?
Well, usually I tell people don't start there, because it has more thyroid panels than most endocrinologists run, which scares me. But if you just do the comprehensive plus female hormones, we've got, I think, 7 different thyroid markers on women. We only have 5 on men, but on men, we put the D-dimer, you know, through this COVID D-dimer mess. But so Janet negotiated that, didn't even go up on the price. I said, I don't know how you did that, because they used to charge us $130 and there's not that much profit in it. But I would really start with the comprehensive plus female hormones, or especially if you've got lab within the last 3 to 6 months, send it to me through email. What I'd tell people to do, if you really want to talk to us, fill out a health survey and, you know, what are your symptoms? What are your concerns? What are your goals? And I'll call you.
He will too. He will spend time with you guys, because he did it with us.
Jan is probably more fun to talk to, but I usually do the calling, because she's working in her little niche and, you know, taking care of that. But yeah, I don't usually start there. If you've already got a bunch of labs, send it to me. You know, I want the history of what's been going on. That's very important.
Yeah. Same person says, realistically, how long does one have to be carnivore to starve out candida?
3 months, 6 months. They're very resistant, and then they grow little tentacles, and they'll go systemic. It is really, 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 really tough to kill it down to a proper ratio. I think it should be 15% in your gut or less. I found it to be very, very problematic, because you'll hit them with stuff, and I have a big formula that works on all of them, but you want to hit them for that for a little while and then do something different, you know, because they may get a little resistance. So three months to 6 months, and that's being optimistic.
All right. We had a few more come in. I'll allow it, and then we're going to wrap up. Justin says, don't shoot me if this is a dumb question, but is peanut oil a seed oil? I can guess I probably should just use butter, tallow, or lard. You tell them what you think. I'm going to put it this way. I think that your conclusion, Justin, is perfect. You should probably use butter, tallow, or lard. If I'm going to use an oil that doesn't come from an animal, the three that I'll even think about are real olive oil, which means read the label and make sure there's nothing but olive oil in it, avocado oil or coconut oil. I don't use them very much, but I will use them. Seed oil, is it a or is peanut a seed oil? Technically, it's a legume, not a seed, but it's a seed. I would put it as probably one of the lesser bad seed type oils is kind of where I would put it. It's not a nut oil. It's not like walnut oil or something like that from a tree nut. It's a ground based legume. It's probably not as bad as canola, but I pretty much don't use it. What do you say?
Well, I agree with the non-animal oils. Getting good olive oil is problematic. We found olive oil ranch somewhere in Central Texas. I don't know where it was. We stumbled on it. It's called Dale's Favorite. So we went through the process. If you can find a source that's clean, that, you know, olive oil's good. Peanut oil, I'm very, very disappointed to say that I don't think it's a good thing, because peanuts generally harbor more pesticides than a lot of others. And I was disappointed to see that, but I would go lard, tallow, or butter, or ghee, or duck fat, you know, those.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get better results too. I mean, it just you got to realize, I think what people don't realize is that all of these seed oils were considered inferior, lesser, cheaper products once they developed the industrial processes to extract them. And then they were sold to us as a healthy alternative. And they had to sell it as a healthy alternative, not because it was, because, you know, my grandfather wasn't about to give up his eggs fried in bacon. Right. Mm-hmm. You fry the bacon first and you throw the egg in the bacon grease. Why would you give that up? You know, it tastes good. And so it took some convincing to get that generation, you know, the silent generation moved over onto like margarines and stuff like that. And then, you know, boomers and Gen Xers and all, we grew up being told that, but we weren't the target for conversion. It had already been done by the time we were in our formative years and being told this bullshit and crazy. And as the more I learn, the more toxic I see all this stuff. I mean, I really do, because, and he'll say, well, why are you okay with olive oil? So how do I get olive oil? I take olive off a tree. If it's real olive oil, I take olive off a tree and I press it, oil comes out. Done. That's it. I'll just tell people, because people get very angry about this. Canola is safe. It's wonderful. My doctor says it's great. He says it's the best. Go look at how it's made, because I promise you, if you were to take canola seed, which is rapeseed, which is basically a form of wild mustard, and you were to squeeze that shit and get oil out of it and try to use it in the form it comes out of that plant, it will gag a maggot. That's what my dad used to say when something was really bad. It's so bad it would gag a maggot. You wouldn't eat that. Or cottonseed oil?
No.
Humans ain't supposed to be eating cotton. Right? What in the hell? We're not a weevil. Right? We're not a weevil. Tom says, similar question, should someone with POTS, P-O-T-S, all caps, do both the woman comp and the cardiac panel? And I have to show my ignorance, and I don't know what POTS is.
And I do, but it doesn't come to mind.
Okay.
But if you do the woman's comprehensive and cardiac panel, that's duplication. So, again, fill out the health survey. The cardiac panel is like, I think it's $4.99, which is $3,000-$4,000 worth. And again, you can get 20% off, which is, we're trying to help people out because we see the stress. The cardiac panel, I really, really like. And you know what really scares? Okay, very good.
I'm not trying to pronounce it. Postural orthostatic syndrome.
Well, I'll tell you my opinion there. Don't do both of those panels.
Okay.
Do the cardiac panel. And what scares me is sometimes I do more cardiac markers than your cardiologist, which scares the hell out of me. Fill out the health survey. That would be best. And far as that goes, the tachycardia that goes back to the vagal nerve stimulation from here and a lot of nerve supply from the lower cervicals. And orthostatic, you know, that almost always will involve the adrenal glands. So again, I know you've got lab, if you know what that is, and just send it to me. along with the health survey, and, you know, I'll call you.
Awesome, awesome. Now, here's another one, another thing I can't pronounce, and I don't know what it is either. Regarding minerals, is Shilajit a good supplement? S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T.
Yeah, I pronounce it Shilajit.
Okay, Shilajit, okay.
That is a biomass generally from the Himalayas where, you know, all the plants a jillion years ago got involuted and is squeezing out. It's usually brown or green. It's full of fulvic and humic acid. And so it can actually bind with the heavy metals. I'm real, real scared about using many of the companies out there. I use Shilajit every day. It's in my Testo Essentials. And does it raise testosterone? Yes, but the good, pure stuff is relatively expensive. But I tell these people younger than me and older than me, well, one guy said, ah, it's real expensive. And he's a friend of mine, patient too. I said, yeah, just take it and shut up. It's cheaper than a dinner and a movie and a Viagra. And he comes back in 2 weeks and he starts telling Janet about how he's keeping 2 to 3 girlfriends happy. I said, Jim, be a gentleman in front of my wife, please. Yes, Shilajit is a good thing. I don't think it's going to give you all the minerals, but it also cleans out a lot of stuff. And to be as delicate as I can be, you might wake up a little different, more like you did 20 years ago.
All right.
I tested it on my 70-something-year-old brother, and I said, okay, it's good. I'm going to try it.
All right. So real quick before we wrap up, just to remind you guys that Dr. Stevens' website is Green Wisdom Health. If you want to work with him, we do have a discount code in the MSB if you end up taking supplements that he's recommending for you and providing to you. And we have until end of year, it sounds like, a discount on the lab work of 20%. And that will be discount code survival. You will not find that in your MSB because it's separate from the ongoing MSB discount that they offer. Again, the website, Green Wisdom Health. And you can go there. It looks like probably fill out a form and get a whole bunch of ebooks where you can learn a lot of additional information as well. Again, greenwisdomhealth.com. Links to everything. If you guys want to follow him on X or on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, like I said, he did make sure that was all on the guest application. So all will be in the audio notes, which will, it's about 136 right now, probably about 215 ish today. We'll end up in the audio version on the website. Link in the video notes below, man. Thanks for being with us today.
You know, I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, you let me know when it's time to do this again or when it's time to bring adult beverage to Fort Worth.
All right. Well, you're welcome to come by just about any time. And if you ever want to be on the show again, as always, just fill out the form. And they send me an email that's like, you didn't do it. People send me an email that's like this long and like, I'm not reading that. Fill out the form. It's
yeah.
I did that because it systematizes what we do. Just like you have a health intake form that gives you the information you need. Yeah. So that's not really for you. That's for, I know you know to do that. For everybody else out there, you want to be on the show, fill out the form. But I'm so-and-so, and you can fill out the form. Ron Paul filled out the form. Gary Vaynerchuk filled out the form. And John McAfee, before he passed away, wanted to be on the show and wanted to fill out the form. Guess which one wasn't on the show?
Yeah.
So you're going to fill out the form. Anyway, man, thanks for being with us today, Dr. Lewis.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you.
Bye now. All right, guys, real quick before we wrap up, I have a really exciting announcement today. I've been on for the past month or 6 weeks saying soon we will be releasing the Cover Crop and Soil Secrets course. Well, guess what we're going to do today? We're calling it a soft launch because we're not pushing it super hard. We'll do that Monday. But if you want to take the Cover Crop course, it's done. It's on the website at homefoodsystems.com. You can take the course. You can get the certification once you complete it, that is. Everything's laid out. You can take. We have a link in the notes of the video below in the show notes today. We explain all 9 chapters of it. This took me a lot of work, guys. I when I first started building these courses, it kind of blew me away how much more work there is It's not like just doing 9 podcasts and putting them on a website and there it is. There's a ton of research and effort that went into this one. And I will tell you, I'm not trying to sound important or anything, but this is advanced college level work, but I did it in a way that anybody that wants to understand it's going to be able to understand it. It will fundamentally transform the way that you think about soil, garden, plants. And I would say this is for everyone. If you're like me and you don't eat that many vegetables anymore, but you're doing things with pasture management and things like that, this will benefit you greatly as well. Part of what I make a point of in the course is every form of life on the planet relies on the soil. If you do not eat plants, whatever you eat eats plants. And that's part of that larger food chain. Again, a lot of work went into this. And so it's more expensive than the compost course. This course is $80, but that lets us give a much more significant discount to Member Support Brigade members. Member Support Brigade, you will pay $65 for this $80 course. Discount code is already in the MSB. You're going to want to check this one out. I'll save more info on it for Monday when we do the official hard launch. But I'll tell you, like, things that are in there include things like my 16 top flowers for interplanting during summer growth when most of your beds you're not going to want to dedicate to a cover crop. That's just one example. Why all the riparian strips they put in farm country and the creeks still are covered in mud every year? Why? You'll learn that and a ton more. And then you'll be able to take all this information that is coming out of places like the universities, like NRCS, et cetera, from, you know, people like Gabe Brown and Ray Archuleta in mainstream agriculture, and they're converting these big farms over. What I've done is taken all of that really advanced research, broke it down to what you need to understand about it, and then translated it into what you need to do with your 10 garden beds or your 1 acre market garden or your small pasture system. So take a look at it. And Lion's Den says bachelor's, master's or higher. I don't want to sound egotistical, but this is like PhD level stuff. A lot of the information is from PhD level research. But again, I've redneckized it. That's what I do. That's my profession, right? I take really complicated shit and I make it where a backwoods redneck duck farmer like me can understand it, and then I translate it over so that you can grab onto it and use the stuff that's most important. So I had to go through probably 500 hours of material to drill it down to 12 hours of instruction. And so, again, I think it's a great course. Of course, I do because I made it, but I definitely recommend you check it out. You can always also support the show. Do your shopping at tspaz.com. You guys know that. I don't have an item of the day for you today, but you can always do that. And MSB, you know, it's another way it helps pay for itself right there with a $15 discount on an $80 course. Thank you for tuning in today, guys, and we will catch you tomorrow with Expert Counsel Show, Friday Flashback, and then we'll do it all over again. Just run you around. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.